Morning, everyone. Fantastic to be here, and great to have the kids in with us this morning. And can I also say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hey, kids, I'm going to tell you what to do with your activity sheets in a couple of minutes' time, so if you can just hang on to them for now, that'd be fantastic. The big question this morning for all of us is this: what sort of person does God accept as his friend? What sort of person does God accept as his friend? I think there'd be some people who would say God accepts religious people, people who are near to God things. And I think probably religious people would particularly say that. The people that God accepts as his friend are those who are near to God things. People who do religious things like go to church, people who obey religious rules like rules from the Bible. I think that some people would think the person who God accepts as his friend is the person who is near to God things, to religious things. And so the person who is far away from religious things is the person who is far away from God. What sort of person does God accept as his friend? Well, actually, I think the Bible's answer to this question might be a big surprise to many people. In this true story from the Bible that was just read for us from 2 Kings, and if you've closed that and you have a Bible, why not open it back up, have a look at 2 Kings together? We meet two different people, two men, Naaman and Gehazi. And if you look at these two men and compare them and see how they respond to God and what happens to each of them, then our question will be answered. We'll know what sort of people God accepts as his friends. So let's think together about Naaman and Gehazi and compare them, because they're opposites. Naaman was a man who was very, very, very far away from God things. But Gehazi was a man who was very, very, very near to God things. Naaman, very, very, very far away from God things. Gehazi, very, very, very near to God things. Now, kids, pull out your activity sheets. This will help you while I speak. But if you do use them, please make sure you keep listening as you use them. Now, kids, can you see the picture of Naaman on your sheets? Is there on the screen as well? Why don't you colour in the picture of Naaman while I tell you a bit about him? The first person we meet in this true story from history is a man called Naaman. Verse 1, he's a Syrian, a commander in the army of the king of Aram. And he was a very powerful and important man. He'd won many battles for the king of Aram, and the king of Aram thought he was excellent. Naaman was a brave soldier, a strong leader, a very important man. So we have Naaman, a very important, very powerful, very respected man in his land, but he was very, very far from God. Kids, can you see on your sheet there that Naaman is on the far from God side of the sheet? So can you colour in not just Naaman, but also the far from God side of that page there? Because Naaman lived in a land far, far from God's land, far, far from God's people, far, far from God's temple. And actually, Naaman had led his nation's army against God's people in war. Naaman didn't get to hear God's word spoken by God's prophets. And the gods that Naaman worshipped were false gods, pretend gods, fake gods. Kids, can you see the picture of the lightning bolt there on your sheet and on the screen? That's because Naaman worshipped the thunder god of Aram called Rimmon, a pretend god. Naaman didn't worship the one true God, the God of the Bible. And so you couldn't get further away from the one true living God than Naaman. Far from God's land, far from God's temple, far from God's people, far from God's prophets, far from God's word. He fought against God's people and he worshipped false gods. Naaman was very, very, very far from God. When I was a boy, we had a dog called Erica. Erica was a little sausage dog. I think I've told you before how much I love sausage dogs. They're just cute and funny. You just look at them and can't help but laugh. You know, they've got their long, skinny bodies and their tiny little legs and their flappy, flappy little ears. When I was young, we had a few sausage dogs, and one was called Erica, and she was a beautiful dog. But one day, some people came over to our house. They left the front door open, and Erica wandered off and wandered far off. You see, Erica was a beautiful dog, but was a silly sausage of a sausage dog, really. And so we searched all day, all day, all day for Erica, and it was getting dark and there was no sign of Erica, and I was so worried and I was so scared and I was so sad. And then we were close to giving up and we were driving our car through the back streets just looking one last look for Erica, and there she was, plodding through someone's front yard, head hanging low, covered in mud, covered in water, so sad. And we opened the car door and shouted, "Erica!" And her head came up, and if a dog could smile, she just beamed with joy. And she ran and she ran and she launched herself into the car, flew into the car. And we grabbed her and hugged her and took her home, washed her clean, gave her a huge meal and cuddled her all night. Erica was lost, very, very, very far from us. And Erica knew she was lost very far away and wanted to come home. But Naaman, he was lost, really very, very far from God, but he didn't even know he was far from God or care he was far from God. He didn't even know he needed God. He was that far away. Naaman was very, very far from God. That's Naaman. The other big character in our true story from history is Gehazi. Now, it's a funny name. Imagine if your name was Gehazi. Gehazi. But he is the very opposite to Naaman. Kids, on your sheets, can you see the picture of Gehazi there? Why don't you colour in Gehazi while I tell you a bit about him? Gehazi was Elisha's servant, the great prophet of God, Elisha's servant. And Gehazi was the very opposite of Naaman because he was very, very close to God things. He lived in God's land. He lived near God's temple. He was near God's people. He heard the word of the prophet all the time. In fact, he was the servant of the prophet, and so he heard the word of the prophet day in and day out. He worshipped the one true God of the Bible. And so, kids, can you see how he is in the near God side of the sheet? And so can I get you to colour in the near God side of the sheet as well as Gehazi? And as I said, Gehazi didn't just get to hear God's words spoken by his prophet sometimes. He was Elisha's servant and so heard whenever Elisha spoke from God, which meant he got to hear what God said through Elisha all the time. Add to this, Gehazi got to see Elisha do many incredible miracles, miracles that showed how good and generous and gracious God is, how caring. Gehazi even got to see Elisha raise a dead boy back to life. You could not get nearer to the things of the one true living God than Gehazi. Do you see? The very opposites. Naaman, very, very, very far from God things. Gehazi, very, very, very near to God things. If being near to God things, to religious things, means God accepts you as his friend, then Gehazi is friends with God. If being near God things, God's land, God's people, God's temple, God's word, means God accepts you as his friend, then Gehazi must be best friends with God. And Naaman must definitely not, but some very, very surprising things happen in this true story. Because by the end of the story, the person who started very, very, very far from God ends very, very near to God. And the person who started very, very near to God things ends very, very far from God. By the end, Naaman, who was very far away, has come near, and Gehazi, who was very near, has gone far away. Naaman ends up God's friend, and Gehazi ends up God's enemy, and the whole thing flips, and this should flip our minds. Now, kids, can I get you to turn your hand out over and look at the other side? And you can see there's still the far from God side and the near to God side. But what I want you to do is then open up the flaps and see that Gehazi has crossed over to the far from God side and Naaman has crossed to the near to God side. This is the opposite to how they started. Now, why don't you start by colouring in the near to God side while I tell you a bit what happened about to Naaman that brought him near to God. Well, in verse 1, we hear that Naaman was not just a very powerful and important man, but he also had leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible skin disease that was white and gross and itchy, and it spread all over your body and people didn't want to be around you. And so Naaman had a really, really big problem, a problem that he could not fix, a problem that doctors couldn't fix. If you had leprosy, it just got worse and worse and worse, and no one wanted to be with you. Poor Naaman. But then one of Naaman's wife's serving girls said that she knew a way that Naaman could be cured because she was from Israel and she knew the one true God, the Lord. And she knew about God's great prophet Elisha. And she knew that Elisha, in God's power, could miraculously heal people. And so this young serving girl who had been taken captive from Israel by Aram and who is now Naaman's wife's serving girl said, verse 3, "If only my master Naaman would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." "Go to Elisha," she said, "God's prophet. Elisha is able to heal Naaman from his leprosy." And so Naaman is filled with hope for the first time. And he goes to his master, the king of Aram, and asks for permission to go and see Elisha the prophet in Israel so that he could be healed. The king of Aram agreed and gave Naaman some gifts of money and things to take with him for the healing, and a letter for the king of Israel that read verse 6, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that he may be cured of his leprosy." Now, when the king of Israel read this letter, he was frightened because he thought, "I'm not God. I can't heal this man of his leprosy. The king of Aram is trying to start a fight with me. What do I do?" But when Elisha the prophet heard about this, he sent a message to the king of Israel and said, "Don't worry. Send Naaman to me. Then Naaman will know that there is a prophet in Israel." And so Naaman went to Elisha's house with all his horses and all his chariots because he was a very powerful and very important man. But when he got to the door, Elisha didn't answer. Elisha didn't even come to the door. Instead, he sent a messenger to the door to speak to Naaman and said to him, verse 10, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and your skin will be fixed and you'll be clean." Now, what do you think Naaman did when he heard about this? Was he over the moon with happiness? "I just have to go and wash in the Jordan, I'll be clean for my leprosy." Did he dance around excited he was going to be healed? Did he run to the Jordan River, dunk his head under 7 times so that he could be healed? No. Naaman was angry. Naaman was angry because he thought, "Elisha should have come out to see me. Elisha should have shown more respect than just to send a servant to the door to talk to me. Elisha should have then come out and called on the name of his God and done something really important, waved his hands over my leprosy and asked God to heal me, done something spectacular because I'm important." Naaman wanted Elisha to treat him with respect. Naaman wanted Elisha to treat him as important. Naaman wanted Elisha to do something that really seemed impressive. Not just send a servant who comes out and says, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman says, "There are better rivers back home. I could have washed in any one of those." And so Naaman went away angry. But Naaman had some very wise servants. And they said to Naaman, "If the prophet had told you to do something really, really hard, you would have done it, wouldn't you? Well, why don't you just go and do this really easy thing and be cleansed?" And so Naaman thought about it and thought, "I will." And he went to the Jordan River and he dipped himself under the water once, twice, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And when he came up out of the water, he was clean. The leprosy had left him. He was completely healed. His skin was like it had been when he was a little boy, clean. And then Naaman was filled with joy and thankfulness for Elisha the prophet, but even more thankful to God, the one true God. Naaman went back to Elisha, and this time Elisha came out to him, and Naaman said to Elisha, verse 15, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except this one true God." Do you see, something has happened to Naaman that is even better than being healed of the leprosy. And that was he had come to trust and follow the one true God. He'd come to trust the one true God as the only God in all the world. Naaman, who had started very, very, very far from God, had come near to God. And we can see that Naaman is not just saying this, but he actually believed it. You see, he then, out of thankfulness, wants to give some gifts to Elisha. And Elisha says no, refuses his money. Because God's gift of healing, and in fact all God's gifts, are free. God is a generous God. We can't earn them or buy them. And so Naaman then said, "Okay, can I please take some soil from the land and take it home and set up an altar so that I can worship the one true God on the soil of Israel and never make sacrifices to any other god? And please just forgive me this one thing. When I go into the temple of the false god Rimmon, and my master the king bows down before Rimmon, and I have to help him bow down, and it's sort of like I bow as well, please forgive me that because I'm not bowing. I don't believe in that god anymore. I'm just helping my master the king to bow down." And Elisha agrees and says, "Go in peace." Do you see what's happened to Naaman? He started very, very far away from God. But he heard God's word to go and wash in the Jordan River and at first was angry and didn't trust God's word. But then encouraged by his servants, he did trust that word and he did go and wash and he was healed. But even better than that, Naaman from that came to trust the Lord as the one true and living God and to worship him alone. Naaman started very, very far away from God, but came near. An outsider, an enemy, a false God worshipper, walked towards God by believing his word and was accepted as God's friend. The furthest outsider becomes the closest insider. But in contrast, look at what happened to Gehazi. And kids, while I tell you what happened to Gehazi, why don't you colour in the far from God's side on the sheet where Gehazi ends up. After Naaman had left Elisha and travelled some distance away, Gehazi went after Naaman because Gehazi thought to himself, Elisha should have taken the money and stuff from him. I'm going to run after Naaman and I'm going to get some of that money and stuff for myself because Gehazi was greedy. Greedy Gehazi. Well, Gehazi caught up with Naaman and when Naaman asked if everything is okay, Gehazi lied. Gehazi made up this story about two prophets coming to Elisha's house to visit and saying now Elisha wanted Naaman to give some clothing and some money for these two prophets. Well, Naaman happily gave Gehazi the money, the clothes, and Gehazi had his servants carry them back towards his home. But when they got near to Elisha's house, Gehazi sent the servants away because he wanted to do the next thing where no one could see, which was Gehazi took the money, took the clothes, hid them in his house. Greedy Gehazi. And when he went into Elisha, Elisha said to him, where'd you go, Gehazi? And he lied again and said, nowhere, nowhere. But Elisha, God's great prophet, knew and said, my spirit was with you, Gehazi, when you met Naaman on the road and accepted the money and the clothes. Elisha saw everything because God sees everything. Can't hide from God. And Elisha said to Gehazi, Gehazi, is this the time to be accepting money from those God has brought to himself? In a time when so many in Israel are rejecting God and what God says, God in his generosity has brought this man from far, far away, Naaman, back to himself by his generosity. And now you, Gehazi, are undermining it by taking money. Is this the time to be accepting money, Gehazi, when God has been so generous? No. And so in verse 27, Elisha said to Gehazi, Gehazi, Naaman's leprosy will now cling to you and your descendants forever. And when Gehazi left Elisha, his skin was covered in leprosy as white as snow. Do you see what happened to Gehazi? He started so, so near to God things. But when he heard the word of God through Elisha the prophet, he would not listen and went his own way instead. Wanted money, wanted possessions, and so lied to get them. Gehazi walked away from God and as punishment, God gave him leprosy. But even worse, he became God's enemy. Gehazi, who started very, very near to God, an insider, a worshipper of God, near God's people, near God's temple, near God's prophet, hearing the word of God all the time, walked away from God and became God's enemy. The closest insider ended up the furthest outsider. Do you see the opposites, how opposite they are? Naaman, very, very, very far away from God, but by God's generosity, he walked towards God by believing God's words and became God's friend. Whereas Gehazi started very, very near to God things, but walked away from God by rejecting God's word and became God's enemy. And so for someone to be accepted as God's friend, the big thing is this. The big thing is this. It doesn't matter whether you start far or near. It matters whether you hear. It doesn't matter whether you start far or near. It matters whether you hear. Now, kids, can you fill out those top two lines in the big arrow at the bottom of your sheets? Because that's what causes Naaman and Gehazi to cross over from the different sides. The person that God accepted as his friend was Naaman because Naaman, by God's grace, came towards God by hearing what God said, listening to God and trusting it. And it's the same today. Person who God accepts as his friend is the one who listens to God. Whether someone has been very, very far away from Christian things or very, very near to Christian things, the thing that God requires, whether you're far or near, is that you hear, listen to him, trust what he says. That's what Naaman did, but Gehazi wouldn't listen, walked away from God, became God's enemy. Back then, God spoke through his prophets like Elisha. So if you wanted to hear what God said, you would have to go to the prophet Elisha. But wonderfully today, we have the words of the prophets and the apostles written down for us. So if you want to hear what God says to us, we have it right here in this book, the Bible. God speaks today through his Bible. And so if you want to listen to what God has to say, hear him here. Listen to what he says in the Bible and trust him. And so for someone to be accepted as God's friend, the big thing is it doesn't matter whether you start far or near. It matters whether you hear. Kids, can you say that with me? Give it a go. It doesn't matter whether you start far or near. It matters whether you hear. Parents, I think you can join in too. It doesn't matter whether you start far or near. It matters whether you hear. If you want to be friends with God, now and forever, live with him forever, will you hear what God says in his word, the Bible, and trust him? Because that's the person who's a friend of God. Do you know when Jesus came to earth hundreds of years later, God, born as a human, Jesus spoke from God, and if people were going to be friends with God, they needed to listen to Jesus. But as an adult, he traveled back home to the town where he lived as a child, to the town where he'd grown up, Nazareth. And the people there in Nazareth didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say, didn't respect him, didn't want to hear his words. And so that Jesus spoke to the people of Nazareth about Naaman. Jesus said, do you know in the time of Elisha the prophet, there are lots of people in the land of Israel who had leprosy, but God didn't heal any of them. He healed Naaman, a Syrian, an outsider, someone who was very, very far away from God, but who listened to God. At first didn't want to, but eventually did. Listened to God, came near and became God's friend. Jesus just reminding them, people who are very, very far from God can be shown God's love and brought very near to him. And often these are the very people that God seeks out. Naaman was one of those people, a far-off outsider who God drew near, who enabled him to listen to God's word and become his friend. And when the people of Nazareth heard what Jesus said about Naaman, they were furious, so angry that they tried to kill Jesus, because the people of Nazareth were more like Gehazi than Naaman. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. They didn't want to go God's way. Even though the people of Nazareth grew up right next door to God, Jesus, God lived amongst them. They could not have got closer to God. They refused to see Jesus for who he was and wouldn't listen to him, and so became God's enemies. See, the important thing is not whether you start far or near. The important thing is whether you hear. Imagine this, kids. Imagine if there's a person in your class that you want to be friends with, but every time you go to talk to them, they put their hands over their ears and they yell, la, 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 I am not listening to you. And then they stop and you're like, that's weird, I'll try again. You start talking, la, 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 I am not listening to you. Now, how would you feel if they did that? Sad? Maybe angry? But you couldn't be friends with them, could you? If people don't listen to you, you just can't be friends with them. If people treat God like that, there's no way that he can be friends with them. That's how Gehazi treated God, and so Gehazi could not be friends with God. But Naaman did listen to God, and so could be friends with God. But now, think about it like this. Imagine if someone did it not just to you, la 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 la, but did it to your teacher. Your teacher comes, speaks to someone in your class, asks them to do something, and they stick their hands over their ears and go, la 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 la, I'm not listening to you, teacher. Wow, they'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't they? But can you imagine how far, far, way, way worse it is for people who won't listen to God? They're in the worst trouble there could ever be. The most important thing is not whether you start far or near. The most important thing is whether you hear God. But one more thing. The big thing that will stop us hearing God is being proud. The big thing that will stop us from hearing God is being proud. You'll only be able to listen to God and become his friends if you're humble enough to listen. Do you remember that Naaman almost missed out on being healed? Elisha sent the messenger to him, told him, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And at first, Naaman was angry and almost walked away. And so almost never got healed. And so almost never got to be friends with God. And the reason that Naaman was angry was because He was proud. The whole thing felt humiliating. He had turned up with all these horses and chariots to show he was an important, impressive and powerful man, but Elisha wouldn't even come out in person. Sent a messenger instead. And the message was, oh, just go dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. Nothing magical or spectacular or amazing. Nothing that showed respect for how important Naaman thought he was. And so Naaman was angry because he thought, this is humiliating. This is embarrassing. This is demeaning. Does Elisha know who I am? Does Elisha know how important I am? Does Elisha know who he's dealing with? Naaman was proud. Too proud to at first listen to God's word. His pride was stopping him be able to hear God, trust it. And so Naaman was about to miss out on being healed and even worse, to miss out on becoming God's friend. Do you see, Naaman was acting like a, nah, man. Naaman was acting like a, nah, man. Nah, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to wash in the Jordan River. Nah, man, I'm too important for that. Nah, man. I should be able to be healed in a way that shows how impressive and how important I am. Nah, man, I should be able to come to God the way I want to come to God. And we should be careful that we don't act like nah, man's, saying nah to God and because we're too proud. Kids, there's one little last bit left in the bottom of your sheets there. Can you do those dot to dots there and then fill in the blanks? See, it wasn't until Naaman was humble enough to listen to God and let God tell him the way to be healed that Naaman got healed. And even more amazing, Naaman became friends with God. Naaman stopped saying, nah, man, to God, and instead started saying, yes, sir, I'll listen to you. Do you see, through Elisha, God was teaching Naaman and all of us, if you want to come to God, you need to be humble enough to hear what God says. Listen to him, trust him. And the way to come to God is going to be humbling, because God's way, he does it all and he does it as a gift and you can't earn it or buy it. It's all very humbling. And that's the same today. If you want to come to God and be friends with God forever, if you want to be forgiven by God for all the things that you have ever done, for all the things that you will ever do, if you want to be in heaven with God forever and ever and ever after this life, then you need to be humble enough to hear what God says is the only way for us to come near to him. Don't be proud, it'll stop you hearing. Be humble enough to hear what God says is the only way for us to come near to him. And the way to come near to God is itself humbling, because God's done it all. Jesus has done it all. It's not us. Jesus came and died for us so we can be forgiven. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. He's the Savior, not us. It's all a gift from God. He's done it all. And so you have to be humble enough to hear God's one way and then accept God's one way, which is humbling. Hearing God's word takes humility, and being proud will stop you from hearing. Let me finish by talking to those who are far and those who are near. I don't know how you think of yourself, but do you think of yourself as someone who is perhaps far from God, or at least far from churchy things, Christian-y things, religious-y things? You might be a dad who's been invited along this morning by your kids, or kids been invited along by your dad. And can I say, good on you. Good on you for loving your kids or your dad enough to accept that invitation and come along just because this stuff is important to them. That's love. But you might be feeling within yourself, this stuff just isn't for me. You might feel like this church stuff, this is so distant from my world. This is so far away from the things I actually care about in life. But I hope that you've seen this morning that blokes who are very, very far away from God or church or Christian things can come near. And it's not hard. It's just hearing what God has to say to you and trusting it. And particular trusting that Jesus has done everything is needed to draw you back into a real relationship with God now and forever. And if that's real, is there anything more important? No one's too far. No one's too far. God brings the furthest outsiders close to himself. People that others would say they could never be a God person. They could never be a Christian. People who have no thought about God, no care for God. People who maybe follow other gods, other religions. People who maybe have done terrible things in their life. People maybe who have been in jail for crimes they have committed. People who are angry towards God because of how life has turned. No matter how far away from God you are the person that God wants to draw near. You're the person that God loves to draw near. I was that person. People said about me, Graham, there's no way he could ever be a Christian. I was so far from Christian things. I knew so little about God or the Bible, and I had friends who invited me to church, and I went once in a while, and when I got there, I thought, I never want to come again. I lived my own way, I lived my own life, I did my own things. I never thought about what God wanted from me. I did all sorts of things that I knew were wrong, and I knew they were wrong because I could see the hurt and the damage that I did to other people. I ignored God, I mistreated God, I worshipped other gods, sport, fun, friends, and not the one true God at all. I was very, very far from God, and yet I'm so thankful that our God is the Father, the God who loves to draw people who are far, far away and bring them near to himself, enables them to be humble enough to hear his word, to listen to it and trust him and receive the forgiveness that his son, Jesus, has won for us, and so become God's friend for all eternity. So can I just speak to you who feel that you might be far off? Can I invite you? Why not stick around? Why not come back one more week? Next week, a few weeks' time, and just listen. Does this stuff make sense? Is this for real? Is this true? Can I trust it? Can I trust him? Because if you listen, I guarantee you will not regret it. But let me finish by talking to those who are near. You can be in this building every Sunday morning, or up in the kids, EV kids, every Sunday morning. Be hearing the Bible, God's word, read and explained every week, and still be far from God because you don't hear. You don't listen to what God's word says with humility, and don't trust what he says, and particularly don't trust that his son Jesus has died to forgive you and make you friends with God. Now, if this is you, can I beg you, please don't be Gehazi, end up like him. Please don't fail to listen to the word of God and just live how you want to, and please be humble enough to hear God's word and trust it. There's actually a great blessing in starting near. Perhaps being born into a Christian family, perhaps being at church every week, there's a great advantage in starting near God things because it's the best place to hear. But ultimately, if you want to be friends with God, it doesn't matter whether you start far or near, it matters whether you hear. And kids, can I finish by speaking to you? I see you in the EV kids' classrooms each week, and you do great in listening really well. So can I encourage you, keep listening to your teachers, because it's kind and loving to your teachers, because it's kind and loving to each other, because it makes class better. But even more importantly, when your teachers are teaching you the Bible, listen, because God is speaking to you through the Bible. God is speaking to you from his Bible. And when your parents read you the Bible at home, God is speaking to you through his Bible. So listen up, because the person who God accepts as his friend is the one who listens to what God says in his Bible and trusts what he says. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're so good, so loving, a father that wants people to be your friends, to be your children. And we thank you that you draw people who are very, very far away from you to come near. And so we ask this morning, please, God, for any who are far away, draw them near. And for any who are near, please keep us near. And for all of us, please give us the humility to keep listening to you in your word, the Bible, and to keep trusting what you say. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.